This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Welcome once again to this week's edition of Joy's very own show about pets. Thank you to Leo for delivering such a fine morning of tunes and Tim Lennox for the news. I'm Kevin and I'm joined in the studio today by Kate and Alan. Hi guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So you may not be aware, but there are currently thousands of working dogs who play a significant role in assisting and enhancing the lives of people across Australia on a daily basis.
These clever canines can be seen saving people in rescue operations, giving comfort to people in nursing homes and hospitals, checking luggage at airports. Dogs have also assisted soldiers in war, and the list goes on.
For some people, a working dog is not only a four-legged friend, but can be their eyes to the world, giving them independence and freedom they otherwise would not have. With Guide Dog Awareness Week this week, we look at seeing eye dogs and how they help transform the lives of people who are blind or have low vision.
Now, coming up on this very jam-packed edition of Pets Allowed today, we're going to hear from puppy carer Carol Stack about her first-hand experience raising a seeing eye dog.
The Managing Director of Vision Australia would join us on the program to talk about how you can become a puppy carer.
TV vet Dr. Katrina Warren calls in to tell us about her appearance with the Wonder Dogs at the Dog Lovers Show kicking off here in Melbourne on May the 3rd.
And if you're keen on heading down to the Dog Lovers Show yourself, we are giving away 3 double passes to the show, but listen up for details.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Now, you may have remembered last week we talked about a little kitten, a little fluffy ginger kitten named Dodge, and it was part of the question to win tickets to the Dog Lovers Show, which we're going to have a different question coming up in a bit.
You going to give it away again, Kev?
No. Well, thankfully, I can't give this one away. It's a bit difficult for me to. But Dodge has actually gone to a new home throughout the week. Kate, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, this Wednesday, Dodge's new owner, Phil, came in to adopt him, and he was very, very excited. He was chosen out of 300 people around about who emailed us and called us to adopt Dodge. Phil had lost his cat about 12 months ago to the day that Dodge was found in the tunnel. His cat was 18 years old. He loves his cat. He's also a great supporter of the home and just generally a very lovely man. And he's already reported back that Dodge has been exploring in the house and settling in really well. So we think they're the perfect match, those two, and we're very excited.
Great.
And you can check out a video of Dodge and Phil meeting for the first time on our Facebook page or on our website. Just check out the Lost Dogs Home on Facebook. Now, we've also had a really good story come out of the National Pet Register with a cat being reunited after quite a while.
That's right. Linda, who's a postie who lives in South Melbourne, she was back in 2011. She was on holiday in Europe and her brother was looking after her cats at home. When she came back, just before she came back, one of her cats, Samba, went missing. And she, being a postie, she was able to, you know, she put up flyers all round her route. She put them up at South Melbourne Market, in the town hall, and people would sort of ask her if she'd found him, but no luck. She moved house, but luckily she kept the same phone number. So Samba came into the Lost Dogs Home, the Lost Cats Home now. We were able to call her and get in touch with her on her phone, and she was reunited with Samba after 2 full years.
Wow, that's great.
It's always a good story.
Yeah, love those stories.
It is always nice to hear, you know, dogs and cats coming home after quite a long time missing, because sometimes people do give up hope, but it stresses that importance of keeping your microchip details up to date as well, and, you know, keeping that identification and making sure you know you've got everything and you can check and never give up hope. Now, we did mention that we are going to be doing a bit of a giveaway, but if you want any more news from the Lost Dogs Home, visit our website, which is dogshome.com. So the Dog Lovers Show is set to take place at the stunning Royal Exhibition Buildings from Friday, May 3rd to May 5th, and we have 3 double passes to give away to 3 lucky listeners. But there is a catch. We do want to hear from you. To score a double pass and to join other dog lovers, we want you to tell us one thing that you love about your dog. See, that's why I can't give it away,
Kate. That's an easy thing, isn't it? Yeah, no. We can tell us what you love about Cinder.
What do I love? Her on-the-go attitude, the fact that she's always ready to work. And what about you? What do you love about your 3?
Oh, gosh. I love coming home to them. Their little expectant faces as I walk through the door. You always feel loved and adored.
Yeah, you hear them sort of galloping down the hallway as you open the gate.
Alan, is that what you love about yours?
I like that. And also Prudence, my old dog, I like the fact that if I lift my arms up like that, she wags her tail.
Alan, you do realise that it's radio, so no one could have seen you lift your arms up to your side.
Like it's doing a star jump for those people out there.
Well, we do want to hear from you, so if you want to win a double pass to the Dog Lover Show, we have three to give away. Text us on 0427JOY949 with the answer of one thing you love about your dogs, or you can also email onair@joy.org.au. Remember, you do need to be a Joy member and not have won anything in the last 2 weeks, so please include your membership and number as well. Find your name and contact number, and we will announce the winners at the end of the show today. Now it is time for
this week's Pet of the Week.
Kate, why don't you tell us about our Pet of the Week this week?
Well, this week we have Cambridge, who is a lovely domestic medium hair cat. He is black and white, predominantly black, with a lovely little white bib and chin. He's a gorgeous looking cat. He can be a little bit shy when you first meet him, but after a few pats he does warm up and gradually comes out of his shell. He'll purr with delight and when you're patting him and sitting when he sits on your lap. Unfortunately though, he isn't a great fan of other cats, so he'd probably be best suited to a single cat household. He's currently up for adoption at our North Melbourne shelter. He's 4 years old, and if you want to find out more about Cambridge, you can visit our website at dogshome.com. His identification number is 936449. You can also contact the shelter on 93292755.
Thank you very much for that, Kate. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. You can find a picture of Cambridge on there. And, you know, you might have missed out on Dodge, the little ginger cat, but we have so many cats looking for homes at the moment. So please come on, check out our website, dogshome.com. Have a look at some of the other cats and think about bringing one of those into your life.
Miss your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long.
On Pets Allowed today, we are kick-starting our series into working dogs. Working dogs aren't exclusive to just herding sheep on farms. They're, for as long as we know, assisted humans in a range of ways.
Dogs can be seen saving people in rescue operations, giving comfort to people in nursing homes and hospitals, checking luggage at airports, and the list goes on and on and on.
Specially trained therapy dogs were recently used to comfort the bereaved following the Boston Marathon bombings.
And dogs in warfare have a long history starting in ancient times and have been trained and used as scouts, messengers, sentries and trackers.
Now, with Australians commemorating Anzac Day yesterday, we came across a very moving gallery, which we've since linked to our Facebook page, featuring some photographs of some dogs as well as other animals who are actually assisting Australian soldiers at war. So you had some dogs, you had some cats. You know, they often have a cat on a Navy ship to keep away the rats and mice and everything like that.
So they still do that?
Yeah. They also had koalas and kangaroos.
Which is bizarre.
Yeah. There was all these sorts of different animals on different, you know, on sort of in different countries. Mm. So they've kept them over there as a symbol of Australia, basically, as well. So we're going to have a look at some of the working dogs. And to start off, we want to look at some of our favourite ones. Mm. Alan?
I like Dalmatians, and they're still a really common breed today, but the job that they were bred to do has completely disappeared because it was all to do with horse-drawn carriages, and they basically followed horse-drawn carriages and protected them. And this was developed by early fire services, who obviously had fire carts that were drawn by horses, and they used Dalmatians to run in front of the horses and basically to clear the way, let people know that the fire trucks were coming, and they gave the horses a focus so that they could follow them to the fire.
Actually would stay with the carriage as well when the fire was being fought, and they would, I think they would guard it, kind of look after it as well, and also make sure the horses stayed calm.
Yeah, so that was what they've been bred to do for centuries. And there are still lots of fire departments who have Dalmatians as their mascot.
They're a bit of a symbol, and a lot of them nowadays actually are used as fire safety dogs.
Yes.
So they help to teach kids things like stop, drop and roll, because the dog will actually demonstrate it for them.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's it.
You learn something on this show. Yeah.
That's why you listen. What about you, Kate? What are some of your favourite working dogs?
I'm pretty impressed with scent and rescue dogs. They've, you know, assisted us humans for a long time in tracking, probably in the past tracking our meals, but now more tracking missing people. They're used extensively with natural disasters, mass casualties, and other disasters like 9/11. Tracking down people who've got lost in the wilderness. They usually work with a dedicated handler and usually in small groups too. They can search for an individual person, so you can give them a scent and they'll go off and track that person or find that person. Or you can actually just train them to look for humans in general, I guess. Like for 9/11, they were looking for remains. And of course, they can also specialise in finding cadavers as well or people who have passed away. And I didn't know, but you can actually train them to search in different conditions as well. So there are dogs that are specially trained to search in water, which I find amazing, okay. Using their nose, rubble. And of course, I guess most of us know the most common breeds that do that would be the German Shepherd, Labradors, and Spaniels. And apparently they use two different techniques. I can either track, which is putting their nose to the ground and following a scent, but also there's those dogs that work with air scenting as well. So fascinating.
There might be those specific breeds that are more suited to it, but you actually can teach any dog how to track. And that's where that's sort of the dog sport of tracking has come about.
Yeah.
And also, you know, lure racing and stuff as well. Mm. Like they're sports that you can actually play with your dog. And that's generally where a lot of those sports come from that people take part in, like herding and everything like that. Tri-ball is another one which has come from herding, which leads to, of course, my favourite type of working dog, which is the Australian farm dogs. Now, you often see border collies, kelpies, red and blue heelers, coolies as farm dogs. Mm-hmm. Kate, any others in that? Or?
Not off my mind. But
what did you have when you were growing up?
We had kelpies. We always had kelpies, usually brown and tan kelpies on the farm.
Oh, beautiful. And I mean, they're such a good, those kind of dogs are good at farm dogs. You can actually have corgis as well.
Yeah.
And they don't use them so much nowadays, but they used to use them. They're trained to herd cattle, sheep, goats, sometimes other things like poultry, some ducks even. And sometimes in herding trails, they'll actually use ducks rather than sheep. And they're trained that way because they all have that herding instinct. So it's kind of a prey instinct as well as a predator instinct. So they sort of learn to chase those sheep and chase those cattle around and sort of generally working dogs, it takes a couple of years to see if you have a really good working dog, and you've got to build that relationship with them, really trust them and have them really trust you, because a lot of it is working at a distance as well. I've got a border collie. She is naturally a working dog. So a lot of people do own domestic working dogs, but you need to make sure they have that job. Mm. She still needs a job, even though she's living at my house.
They just love to work. You can just see the absolute pleasure when they're doing what they do best.
My grandfather's border collie on the farm used to herd all the grandchildren into the corner and not let us go.
My dad's dog used to love rounding the chooks up every night, and he could just say, "Where are the chooks?" and wouldn't have to do anything, and they'd be in the hen house in no time.
And did he shut the door?
Yes, he did. Yeah, well, no. Dad didn't have to do that.
I do notice Cinda sometimes, like if I'm walking with people, she'll start knocking them to make sure we're all still in a group.
Yeah.
Just make sure they're there.
Things just work better that way for dogs.
So that is just the first of a few different types of working dogs that we are going to be looking at. But coming up after this, we're going to hear from Carol Stack, who is a puppy carer for Seeing Eye Dogs Australia.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Tamsin Lewis, Olympic runner. You're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Imagine what it would feel like to raise a puppy that will one day go on to completely transform the life of a complete stranger. The Seeing Eye Dogs Australia puppy caring program requires volunteers to care for a puppy in their home from the age of 8 weeks until they are approximately 12 to 15 months in age.
Carers, under the guidance of a puppy development officer, teach basic obedience and house manners and are encouraged to socialise their pups in a range of different places, including restaurants, cinemas and shopping centres.
For the last 10 months, Carol Stack has seen Carla, a Seeing Eye Dog in training, grow from a 16-week-old puppy into a clever canine almost ready for graduation.
And Oslam caught up with Carol early in the week, who starts off here by giving us an insight into Carla's personality.
She's got a very loving personality. She'll give you a kiss when you bend down to talk to her. And in the morning when you get up and she gets up, she talks to you, and it sounds like she's saying hello to you. And she'll talk to you a couple of times, and then you put her... She knows when it's time to go outside, and she just loves my daughter and my grandson. And she knows the different people that come into the house, and also, you know, greets them with a kiss if she can, if they bend down to her.
Yeah. So take us back to the first week you took Carla into your home. What was that like?
We just got her used to the area. I started taking her to work straight away. And she just fitted in with the family straight away. So I work in a nursing home. It's in Catherine's Aged Care Facility in Baldwin. And I work in the laundry and sometimes in administration in the office. And she has her bed at work with me, and she comes and visits all the residents and, you know, walks around, looks at them and talks to them. And we have the residents who love to give her a cuddle. And so she does everything with me. She's in the laundry with me, and then she goes to lunch with me. Sometimes she goes into the boss's office and just loves that because she's sport rotten with toys.
So does she have a particularly close relationship with any of the residents there?
Yes, she actually loves a sister, Mary Kennedy, who comes for a cuddle most days, and she just loves her.
And what kind of impact do you think she has on the residents living there?
Well, because a lot of them had dogs before they came into the home, there's other dogs that actually visit, but it's just that it makes them happy. I'm sure it makes them happy. They just love her, and if I'm without her going to just get something from the office or something, they ask where she is, and just the joy on their faces when they see her, it's just wonderful.
Sounds like she lifts their spirits.
Oh, she does. She does, and she'll give them a lick, and she'll sit down beside them, and she realises that, you know, that she can't be rough with them or anything like that.
And so what is it that's a part of your responsibility in terms of a puppy carer?
We can play with her. She socialises. She comes to work without her coat on. But we take her up to the shopping centre, up to Doncaster Shopping Centre. She's been on trams, trains, buses. We can take her to the park, and she can go off the lead. She can play with other dogs outside in the yard.
And so you've had Carla since she was 16 weeks old.
Yes, yes.
And how old is she now?
She'll be 10 months in May.
Okay. And in terms of the time frame of the actual program, it looks like you've only got about 2 months more with her.
Yes, we either have her to 12 months, or some mature a bit later than others, and we could have her to 15 months.
And how does that make you feel, that that Carl will eventually, in a couple of months' time, be moving on?
Sad, but in a way, it'll be wonderful to know that she's going to be helping somebody that needs help, you know, that can't do the same things that we can do without help. And she'll be a wonderful companion to be able to, you know, have a cuddle at night and to help somebody be more independent.
And that was Carol Stack, who is currently a puppy carer for Seeing Eye Dogs Australia. Now, if you do want to be a puppy carer, listen up, because after we're going to hear from Ricky Lee with a bit of sunshine, we're going to speak to Lee Garwood, Managing Director of Vision Australia. Now, we are running a bit of a competition at the moment as well. Don't forget, we have 3 double passes to the Dog Lovers Show to give away. It's coming up next weekend. We want to hear from you as to one thing you love about your dogs. I suppose you could say what you love about your cats, but it is a very dog-centric show. So SMS 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. Can't wait to hear from you. You're on Pets Allowed with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, Joyce says we do want to hear from you about what you love about your dogs. You can SMS us 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. We do have 3 double passes to the Dog Lover Show to give away, so make sure you get in there. Remember to send in your membership number as well. Now, with Guide Dog Awareness Week wrapping up on Sunday, all throughout the program today, we're looking at a very special working dog that transforms the lives of thousands of Australians.
As we speak, Seeing Eye Dogs Australia have 230 guide dogs across the nation, helping people who are legally blind to use public transport, cross a road, go shopping, and to get on with leading an independent life.
It takes almost 2 years and $30,000 to prepare just one of these immensely valuable and clever canines for graduation.
Now, joining us on the line to tell us more about these incredible creatures and their inspiring carers is Managing Director of Vision Australia, Lee Garwood. Lee, welcome to Pets Aloud.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.
That's all right. And now, Guide Dog Awareness Week, how does a Seeing Eye Dog actually help people who are blind by or that have low vision?
Look, this week is about celebrating the relationship, the partnership between someone who's blind and their working CNI dog. And a trained dog allows someone who's blind to enter really any environment, whether they know the environment or don't know it, and move about safely. So it provides independent travel. But the important thing is when they want to travel, not when they're waiting for someone, perhaps a family member, to come and take them out of their home. They actually decide when they want to go and where they want to go, and off they go. And one of the real benefits of having a seeing eye dog is also the effect it has on loneliness and isolation and depression and those really positive effects.
Mm.
We have the dogs leave when they graduate at about 18 months. They have at least 30 key commands that allows a person who's blind to work with, and one of those key commands is like find command. It'll find a seat, it'll find a chair in a restaurant, it'll find their ATM, it'll find their bus stop, or even their tram stop. So they use the dog is able to within two or three practices will actually learn what that find command means to that client and take them straight there.
That's incredible.
Why do you normally use Labradors?
Look, we use Labradors and Golden Retrievers. In fact, the most successful dogs around the world are actually one-generation cross, where we cross a Lab and a Retriever, and they've been proven to be the most effective working dogs. But we do keep our pedigree lines, our Lab lines and our Golden Retriever lines, and we do provide them to clients. And we use them because a couple of reasons. One is the public acceptance. People, are not scared of a Labrador or Retriever, where they might be of a German Shepherd, and their success rate is that we've tried all sorts of breeds. We've tried Labradoodles and allergy-free dogs and Shepherds in the past, and the success rate of these lines are higher than any other breed.
Lee, earlier we heard from Carol Stack, who's currently a puppy carer of 10-month-old Carla. Can you tell us a bit about the role of a puppy carer and how important they are to Seeing Eye Dogs Australia?
Look, if we didn't have them, we wouldn't be able to do the work we do. We don't get any government funding. It's all reliant on donations and people like Carol taking those pups in that first 12 months to provide socialisation. We want them to go to work, the shopping centres, trains, trams, they go to cinemas. And what they do in that first 12 months helps set the temperament behaviour for the dog when they come into advanced training with our professional staff at about 12 to 14 months. And the dogs learn. We train people like Carol. We train our puppy carers to do the training, and they'll have our pups trained to eat on command and toilet on command by 10 to 12 weeks, and they really prepare the dog for its future work as a seeing eye dog.
So do you get many people who repeat this? Like, do they often look after many puppies over the course of a few years?
Look, we do. Last year we had, in fact, a special celebration for one of our carers called Sue, who'd helped raise, successfully raise 9 working seeing eye dogs that were out with work with people who are blind around Australia. And,
that's incredible.
They all came to Melbourne and celebrated with her and thanked her for the work that she did.
We understand you may be needing a few more puppy carers to come on board. I think you have 45 puppies who are ready to go into care over the next few months.
Oh, look, we're desperate for puppy carers. We can't plan when the dogs are going to come into season and when they're going to have the pups. Yeah. And suddenly we've got 6 or 7 litters almost hit the ground now, and we're desperate for puppy carers. And we're happy to we provide all the costs. There's no cost, to a puppy carers. We provide all the vets, all the food, all the training. And we'd love people to look us up on our website, which is CEDA, with SEDA.org.au, or call us on our toll-free number, which is 1-800-037-773.
Now, what kind of people are you looking for in terms of who's a good candidate for puppy carers?
Look, we need to have someone that, is not going to need to leave the dog for more than 3 or 4 hours a day. We need to have a home that's secure, has a secure backyard, and able to actually provide the socialisation that we want. We want people going to work. We want them going out and about. And because our dogs can enter really any environment except an operating theatre or a sterile environment, they can go everywhere with them under legislation. They're able to take the dog with them everywhere.
Because that's the important critical time, isn't it? That they need to be sort of seeing everything and reaching those different environments and making sure that they're not going to react too badly to those.
Yes, and they help. I mean, Carol takes her dog to work with her in a nursing home, and I know the dog is a great benefit to people in the nursing home, but it's great socialisation for the dog. And so we're happy with families, we're happy with single people. People get a chance to see what it's like bringing a dog into the family without making a 12 to 14 year commitment, and they get expertly trained. So if they decide to take another dog, they've got that training, but if they choose not to, they've got that for themselves to be able to use in future.
Do they have to come into the centre for regular training?
Look, our instructors go out each week to help train our puppy carers, and then once a month they all come together at our centres and do training as groups, depending on what stage they're at.
Lee, thank you so much for joining us on Pets Allowed today. What was the website again if people want to find out more information?
It's www.ceda.org.au.
Thank you so much for that, and we hope to talk to you again in the future.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks,
thank
Lee.
You.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Kicking off on Friday, May 3rd, the Dog Lovers Show at the Royal Exhibition Building in Carlton will be a dog lover's heaven for 3 days with entertainment and information on our much-loved four-legged friends. Now, we are running a competition for you to win tickets to the Dog Lovers Show. We have 3 double passes to give away today. We just want to hear from you what you love about your dogs. So you need to SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Just send that in with your membership number. You can't have won anything in the last 2 weeks and must be a Joy member. Now, on the line is celebrity veterinarian Dr. Katrina Warren, whose team of Wonder Dogs will be entertaining and educating. What's that word? Entertaining and educating audience. I don't have it on. Entertaining and educating audiences each day of the show. Katrina, thank you for joining us on Pets Allowed today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, we actually have another failed foster carer in our Pets Allowed team who actually adopted 2 of her foster dogs, Kate.
I certainly did. I've adopted a Maltese terrier called Molly and a Cavalier cross called Tess from the Lost Dogs Home. And I understand that you were in the same predicament with your golden retriever, Riley. You fostered him and then chose to adopt him. Can you tell us a bit about him and why?
They know what they're doing, these foster dogs, I think. I was in a situation where my dog Toby, my beloved dog Toby of 14 years, had passed away. And pretty much a year to the date that he had died, I thought, oh, I'm missing a dog so much, but I didn't want a full-time dog. So I phoned Golden Retriever Rescue, who do a lot of rescue of obviously golden retrievers, and said, oh, foster a dog if you've got one. And literally within about 2 days, they're like, we think we've got the perfect dog for you. He likes kids, likes cats. And that was it. He moved in and he was not going anywhere.
Oh, well, I can understand. They weave their way into your heart, don't they?
Well, they do. And I don't know if you knew any of the backstory to your rescues, but I knew some of his backstory and how horrific it was. And he was basically dumped in a cage outside a pound, tied up. Someone had tied him up by all 4 legs and riddled with fleas. The whole story, skinny, starving. And you just think, I used to cry looking at him going, who could do this to you? Like, who could actually hurt an animal that was just so gentle and beautiful? So, he's had a lovely, he must have been here a year and a half now, and he's a beautiful dog.
I can actually see that because I actually follow him and Mr. Fox on Facebook.
Oh,
and
do you?
Yes. So I love your updates. And Mr. Fox is a Maine Coon, and he actually looks like quite a character. I think I've seen him take over Riley's bed a couple of times. Can you tell us a bit about him and how he's going?
Mr. Fox, you know what Mr. Fox is doing right now? He's lying right across the washing I just folded, the clean washing, the black clean washing. Need I say more? There's hair all over it. He is the most amazing cat I have ever had. He's mischievous, he's naughty, he's funny. He basically is very lucky that the dog is so tolerant because he literally swings off the dog's tail some days. I've seen poor Riley with a cat hanging off him. But they are just a very special duo. I'm very lucky again because I used to have Toby and Millie, my other two dog and cat. They were best buddies, and this time it's kind of like role reversal. The cat is the boss and Riley is his sidekick, I think.
So, Katrina, you teamed up with the Wonder Dogs some time ago. What's it like working with them and the professional trainer, Kelly Gill?
Oh, it's fantastic. My favourite days of work, without a doubt, are with the Wonder Dogs. So they're a team of chocolate and white border collies, like my Toby was, and Kelly is an incredible trainer. So together we do a lot of, you know, entertainment. We do a lot of dog shows, dog trick shows, dog demonstrations, help people learn how to train their own pets. And the Wonder Dogs, they've just got the most amazing personalities. So while they're trained very well, each dog is its individual and they're just so much fun.
I was going to say, it sounds like so much fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. And you know, the hilarious thing is, poor Kelly's the one that has to groom and wash the six Wonder Dogs before we go out on a show. I don't have to do that or train them. So I'm very lucky that I get to front it. And yeah, they're just a delight. And the thing I find with the Wonder Dogs is they appeal to all age groups. So it's not just kids, it's right through. We get your grandparents and we get mums and dads, and they bring smiles to everyone.
And I mean, Border Collies are such great dogs as well. I have one myself who I train a lot. She's not chocolate, she's a black and white. And we'll actually be at the Dog Lover Show as well, where we do dog dancing, actually.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So, Katrina, what would you say is the most valuable aspect of training for dogs, for owners and their pets?
I think, and you'll probably agree with me if you do dog dancing, I just think it enriches that bond and enhances the bond that you share together. So what you put in with a little bit of training, you get back because your bond becomes so close. And it's such a joy when you see the results of your training. And, I mean, you know, with Border Collies as well, they just want to learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it gives them that mental and physical stimulation all at the same time. It's a shame you're not up in Sydney because we're having a massive Border Collie event as well.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about going up for it, but I've got some stuff on that weekend because we're obviously preparing for Dog Lovers. So it's a shame I'm going to miss that one. Tell us about the event that's going to be happening.
Well, we're doing a Guinness World Record of Border Collies, can you believe? So that's the most number of dogs ever in an individual photo, and it's all going to be Border Collies. And we started off thinking we'd get about 120, and I think we're looking at more like 300 plus because people are travelling from all over the country. Yes. And so after that event, we've got that next weekend, and then after that, the Wonder Dogs are actually getting on the road and they're doing a road trip down to Melbourne for Dog Lovers.
Now, this is your first time down in Melbourne with the Wonder Dogs?
Yes, it's the first time with the whole team. We've had one or two dogs down there before, but not the whole team, so that's a delight as well. And we have many people on our Facebook pages saying, when are the Wonder Dogs coming down? And so finally, we have delivered Wonder Dogs on the road.
Excellent. And what can we expect at the Dog Lovers show?
You can expect we're doing a trick show, so we're going to hopefully wow people with some fun tricks, skateboarding dogs and counting dogs and those kind of things. We're also going to do a session on the main arena trying to help people have their own Wonder Dogs. So we will give away some of our training techniques on how to train some of the tricks. And then we're also doing a couple of little education seminars as well on how to help you choose the right pet for your lifestyle. Because as much as you and I love our Border Collies, you also know how much work they are, right?
Yes. When she just looks at you first thing in the morning and goes, come on, let's go play, and let's go do some training. And it's like, no, not quite yet. I just got up.
And it's really interesting having a golden retriever because obviously they like their exercise and, you know, they've got a reasonable amount of energy. It is a very different vibe to when I had Toby. Toby was the same. He'd be up in that morning dropping the ball at my feet. The golden retriever is like, so are we going or should I go back to bed for a while?
You crawl into bed with you, probably.
It's still an easy exercise, but it's nowhere near as intense. And that's why he suits my lifestyle now with a 5-year-old daughter, because we don't jog to the park. We walk quite slowly.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Katrina, for taking the time to chat with us today.
You are welcome. I look forward to seeing you at Dog Lovers.
Yes, we'll see you there. So if you do want some more information about the Dog Lovers Show, remember to visit their website, which is dogloversshow.com.au.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Nicola Charles from Neighbours, and you're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
coming up this weekend, we've got quite a busy weekend of events. Tomorrow, Saturday, April 27th, is the Northcote Obedience Dog Club celebrating its 25th birthday with Dog's Big Day Out. It is from noon till 3 p.m. at Elphington Park, Lower Meadow, Parkview Road in Elphington near Northcote. It is a free event for members and non-members. I will be there with Cinder as part of the Melbourne Cannon Freestyle Demo. I think we're on about 2 o'clock or something.
Well worth going.
But there is lots of different stuff on there as well. Now, Kate, Sunday is going to be a very busy day,
isn't it?
There's
lots happening on Sunday. So Sunday, April the 28th, is World Record Dogs Day, where 1,000 dogs or more will come together to break 4 world records for charity, raising awareness for animal welfare organisations like The Home. I will be there with the Lost Dogs Home, as well as the National Pet Register. We'll be giving out free pet ID tags, but also talking all about all of our services, becoming a volunteer, adopting, foster carer at The Home. It is on at the Melbourne Showgrounds, which is Epsom Road, Ascot Vale, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can get a ticket there for $19.
I think you need to buy them online beforehand.
Do
so
you?
Go to worldrecorddogs.com for more information about that. Alan, what else is on Sunday?
Also this Sunday, the 28th, it's the City of Wyndham Pet Expo 2013. That's at Wyndham Civic Centre, Princes Highway, Werribee. The National Pet Register will be there doing $25 microchips. You need to register by 4 o'clock today at petregister.com.au.
And the weekend after is the Dog Lover Show, which, drumroll please, we have had quite a few number of entries in. Betty sent us a message in to let us know that she loves Jordan's giving her cuddles and playful warm nature. We also heard from Kim in Footscray, who loves getting photos of her dog who lives back in Perth, her little Staffy. And also Melissa from Abbotsford, who loves Honey's floppy ears and big puppy eyes. So you guys will be getting a call from us with your tickets. For more information about the Lost Dogs Home or anything like that, visit our website, which is dogshome.com. And don't forget to walk your dogs
and pat your cats.
And also don't forget about Cambridge, our lovely pet of the week, whose photo is now up on Facebook. His ID number is
936449.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.